Blog Talk Radio.
Somewhere in the G.
Where the hell am I? I thought I died. I thought the light was extinguished. I saw my...
They abandoned their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No!
You are listening to the Pink Atheist Podcast with your host, Rachel Jones, Phil Fergus, E. Wood Thomas.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to the Pink Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson. Got to work on that audio startup. I'm trying to reorganize everything, so bear with me. In time, I'll get it. I have to find my old audio, but I love that introduction. I absolutely do. And that's by Tombstone, the Dead Man Taylor. And you can find him on Facebook or Bandcamp. That's where. Pardon me. Anyhow, today for you, we're going to talk about abortion and then the NRA and the Supreme Court justice nominee, a few different topics, and I'm going to try to get to Cuba as well. I wanted to start out with talking about abortion. It's a big topic in America. We've seen a lot of horrific legislation lately, and, you know, I actually want to delve into this personally. Now, technically, I've never had an actual abortion where, you know, I was pregnant and I wanted to terminate it for personal reasons. But in the eyes of the government, I have. And that's because during my first pregnancy, I was 19 years old. And the fetus died at about 10 weeks. And I carried it to 4.5 months, which is an extremely long time to carry a dead fetus. And quite frankly, it's horrifically dangerous. So the same night that I found out that it was dead, I had a DNC, which is listed under the government terms as an abortion. Same procedure. And I can tell you that I wasn't awake for the procedure. I didn't want to be awake for the procedure. I was really kind of upset. But here I am 22 years later and really quite thankful that things went as they did. And so because I've had this procedure, I kind of know what women who choose to have an abortion, what it feels like to go through the procedure to come out on the other end. And I also understand what it is to have to live with outcomes. And this was an important outcome in my life. I, at the time, was in a relationship with a very abusive guy. He was not good for me at all. And because this happened, it actually made it easier to terminate the relationship in the long run, both for him and I. And later, he spoke to me and he said, you know, if you would have carried the baby to term, we would have still been together. And the thought in my mind then was, yoinks, because I think about women in this position, and I think how horrible it must be. Because, you know, back then I was young and very ignorant, and I thought that a baby would make my life, and I can see how women would wind up in this situation, because, you know, I didn't have a lot of broader scope on my life, a lot of outlook to what it could become. And this is what I thought would make my life better. After it was all said and done, looking back, I don't regret that I lost that baby. And I can see how women wouldn't regret that they've had an abortion. The other side going forward, because I didn't have a child with him, because I wasn't strapped to him genetically or any other way, I could get away from him. I could move forward with my life. You know, I went on to have a son who is now an adult. But I can honestly say that had events changed even a little bit at that time, could have drastically and profoundly affected the rest of my entire life. And that could have been good, that could have been bad. But all in all, I have no regrets because I got to walk away from a man who was very bad. And, you know, him and I actually wound up marrying him. And him and I got a divorce when I was 21. And 17 years later, he contacts me, and he tried to rewrite our entire history. And I thought, who is this person? Because this is nothing like what actually happened in that relationship. And I cannot fathom a woman being trapped with somebody like that. And he did go on to have two children with the woman that he cheated on me with. And so he's not even with her. So obviously the scope of his commitment to children or whatever has changed. This was a very negative, bad person, a very hot mess. And I got profoundly lucky. And, you know, I think of women out there having to make this choice. For me, it wasn't a choice I made, and I really get that. But think about a woman having to make this choice. There are toxic men out there who just the thought of being tied to them alone can negatively affect the outcome of a woman's life so tragically, profoundly. And all of these restrictions and regulations against abortion can do that to a woman. And I you know, people like to throw around cliches like it's a life and life begins at conception and things like that. But you know what? So does suffering, okay? These babies have to be born. And if you have a father beating a mother, or if you have a mother beating a father, and you have negative home life, and you have not enough care and support and education and funding, this is like a jail sentence to these people. It is not something that is actually going to help any child that's born into that situation. I know that had I have had that child, that the father wasn't working, he would have never gotten a job. He is still the same person today. I am not. I have since gone to college and am achieving a higher education, which wouldn't have been possible if I was straddled with the task of raising a child on my own with no real support by a person who was 10 years my senior and was so immature that he can't achieve anything with his life. And this is the kind of situation that our government is asking women to put themselves in and accept as their outcome and destiny. When I look at the diploma on my desk, I think, wow, I dodged the bullet. Somehow I got profoundly lucky. I don't regret what happened because that gave me a chance to move forward with my life in ways that I couldn't have. And that's what women are facing. At some point, she has to ask herself, do I make the decision to have the abortion, or do I stay with somebody who this situation can deteriorate to places that I can't even fathom at this point? And abortion should be legal for any reason at any time. A woman should be able to get an abortion if she needs one. And I know a lot of men out there say, oh, well, what about the father's rights? Quite frankly, I've gone over this like a million times, and I've said to men, do you really want to have a baby with a woman who doesn't want to have your child? Do you really think that it's appropriate to force a woman to have a child that she has no interest in mothering? Because what ultimately happens is the child has to suffer that scenario. And yes, two fathers can raise a baby perfectly fine, as well as two mothers. But children still have questions. And when one of the parents wants to walk away, doesn't want to parent, doesn't want to be in that situation, the best thing to do is to terminate. Because, quite frankly, the lack of support, the lack of compassion, the lack of investment can devastate a child's future to the point where they don't really have one. And it's not negotiable. It really is not. So I want you to understand that there are women out there like me, women out there who have had abortions. We look back, we think, I'm so thankful that it went this way, instead of the way that you think it should, because it gave me a chance to really live a life and become somebody and do something. So I'm not going to take up a whole lot more time with that. Everybody has their side on it. I don't agree with the legislation. I don't agree with the congressmen and senators who are trying to make abortion illegal and push women to extremes of sticking coat hangers into their vagina, which, by the way, ladies, you have blood vessels on either side of the uterus. You have to be very careful because if you accidentally, you know, pierce into one of those, you could bleed out rather quickly and die. So, you know, and no woman should have to hear that. But there are women out there right now who have no access to abortion, to safe and affordable abortion. And they're contemplating this actual scenario, and it's very dangerous for them. Now I want to talk about something else that has to do with life. These same people who attempt to proclaim pro-life status are the people who have let our legislators become ensouled by the NRA. So Mitch McConnell today announces that they're not going to confirm anybody for the judicial nomination that the NRA doesn't approve of. And, you know, as soon as I saw that headline, I was like, wow, this is profound. They're out there and they're actually saying it out loud. Things which have sincerely been accusations against the Republicans for a while are now brazen in your face sayings where they feel like there are no consequences to this. It's sort of like the Donald Trump circus is flowing into the Republicans, and so now they're getting more bold and they're saying, hey, we're bought and sold by the NRA. So we're definitely not going to confirm this justice if the NRA doesn't approve. First of all, the NRA is a majority of Americans, but they are very, very powerful, and they do have a lot of money. And the reason they are so powerful is because they create this divisiveness amongst Americans as they think that the government wants to take away all of their weapons. And the hysteria is just profound because the government has the methods and means to remove weapons at any point, quite frankly. If these people were intelligent, they would realize Obama doesn't even have to stop by your house. He can send a drone literally over your home. He can find you wherever you are, and done. He doesn't even have to send anybody to you. Okay, so realize that after 7 years, he hasn't taken all your guns. He's not interested in that. But to see our official government pandering so hard to one place, how much money is getting in these pockets? We really have to be able to access these bank accounts, especially in the Cayman Islands, and find out how much money the NRA is pouring into these politicians. Because we need to understand how bought and sold they are. I mean, this is a judicial nominee. This is our Supreme Court. He is absolutely vital. He is not an extreme left person, and he is very moderate, and he has been liked before by Republicans. And for them to stand up in our faces and say, hey, we have to have this approval, and it's not even the people who are backing them. It's not even we need the approval of our Republican majority. It's not we need the approval of our voters. It's we need the approval of a company I'm just baffled. Like, politics in America has taken a turn for the dirtiest of it. I can't even fathom this. You have the president making history with walking into Cuba for the first time in 9 decades and seeing what it's like there and talking to the leaders and making it so that we can trade. And then you have these people who are bought and sold to the NRA who refuse to move forward at all. Those are two extremes. It's like this rift between the left and right is becoming a chasm. a dark, seedy chasm that we may never be able to cross again. And with the Donald Trumps of the world, who, you know, Donald Trump was already criticizing President Obama for one of the leaders in Cuba not meeting with him as soon as he got off the plane. And he's saying, oh, well, I would have gone home. Of course you would, Donald. You have no backbone. But Obama isn't like that. He was taking the time to really get to know what the scenario was there, what the country is like, what the people are like. He was showing his diplomacy as a real president. And here we have back in America this obstructionism on the part of the Republicans, this underhanded, benign, you know, I get so frustrated, I can't even think of what I want to say, because I have never, never seen such brazen arrogance on the part of people to say, no, his last year in term, we can't listen to his nominee. We can't do anything. And then they say, no, now the standard is this. He has to meet with the qualifications of the NRA. I'm just baffled that it's made it this far, because it's like the wolves have taken off their sheep's clothing and they're pretty cool with being wolves. And they think that the people voting for them are pretty cool with that too. And they're probably right, because as much craziness as Donald Trump has spewed from the pulpit, he hasn't faced any true backlash other than sane people saying, hey, this is absolutely uncalled for and people shouldn't be beating protesters. And, you know, then he just disregards it and flip-flops from one side to the other. So I'm just frustrated. This is not the America I want. This is not the America that should be. But I am proud about one thing, and that's the next topic. And I want to talk about American Atheists for a second. They are holding their Reason Rally down in Washington, D.C. in June. So I'm very, you know, happy about that, because 4 years ago when I attended the Reason Rally, it was a profound moment in my life. I walked away so happy and, you know, ready to face who I was as an atheist. And I met other atheists, and it was a great time. We huddled under umbrellas together. We really, you know, felt like we had a community. So they're doing it again. And I applaud them so much for this. I love American Atheists. They are wonderful. And as far as I understand, tonight they are going to be on Full Frontal with, I got to think of her name, but it's a committee of them. They're going to be talking about secular America and, well, the fact that we need secularization here in America. I'm trying to look up who that show is. And I'm getting interesting hits with Caitlyn Jenner. All right. Samantha Bee. That's who it is. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. Samantha Bee. She's going to have people from American Atheists on there tonight. I would suggest that you watch it. If you can't watch it live, try to catch it, you know, later. But I love what American Atheists is doing, because in the past, they have been quite aggressive, and that's what we need. And especially when we see this degree of derision and this degree of religious iconology here in the politics. Even Hillary Clinton, you know, people have criticized me for wanting to vote for her. I don't enjoy the fact that she's religious, but I'm also aware that occasions of a candidate that I want, I don't want her to tout her religiousness in office, because personally, I don't want religion in my politics. It's not a good stew. They don't coalesce well. And that's because, you know, the founding fathers didn't want that, and we don't need it. But we have the Republican Party, and we have the, oh my gosh. In fact, Donald Trump has had some of the most extreme right-wing religious leaders come to his rallies and talk to his people. And I've heard some of the things they've said, and quite frankly, it's scary, insane. And that holds true for Ted Cruz as well. We have to be very aware of what's going on, because Ted Cruz, he wants to see the end of the world. And, you know, I've often said about these people that's their problem, that they're waiting for the end of the world, and that's why we don't have, you know, too much talk about climate change. These people are delusional in that they think that climate change is, you know, either God's punishment or that God will fix it. And they really don't care what the EPA has to say with our impact in it. And I think that Flint, Michigan, Sebring, Ohio, were good examples of how much delusional thinking is going on in their heads. Look, when you know that water is tainted with lead, and you are made fully aware of that, and you choose to ignore it, that is profound. But these people think that there is some kind of divine figure, their particular brand of divine figure, that is going to come in and going to solve things, take care of things. Well, first of all, hiding the fact that you are bought and sold by corporations under the guise of some divine figure, whatever divine figure, I really don't give a shit, is just disingenuous. But it's also dangerous. And, you know, I'm really sick of the religiosity in the political realm. We have people who are willing to risk all the species on Earth, devastate our planet, kill all the trees, make this world toxic, so that they can make a buck at the expense of the entire planet and the 7 billion people that are on it. That is sickening. Other countries have religion, but they don't have the infection of it to this degree. The level of viral thinking here in America is disturbing. It's feeding the racism. It's feeding the ignorance. It's feeding the lack of desire for education. It's astounding. I love that I have lived in this lifetime where I got to see a black president. We got relations with Cuba. We possibly are going to elect a woman to the office, which is another profound thing in history. And then I realized that, oh, yeah, there's this whole other chunk of history that we're totally going to be ashamed of, because religion has festered its way into every pore and every crack and every crevice in our nation, to the point where we cannot have civil discourse about things like abortion, about things like global climate change, about things like, you know, secular political actions. And I live in this country, and we're one of the most powerful nations on Earth, and we are ruled by these dogmatic thinking individuals. It's sickening, really, for me, because that's not what I want for my world. I'm sure that any atheist listening to this broadcast doesn't want that for their world either. We have to actually work on stopping global warming. We have to work on affecting good change in our planet. And most of all, we have to get off our asses and vote so that we don't have these politicians who think that their religion is the regulation of the land and that they can override Thomas Jefferson and the Constitution. We can't be so weak that at every turn we bow down and we sit down and we shut up. We tried that for 2,000 years. And it got us into this horrific place where, remember that whole chunk of about 400 to 600 years where nothing good happened, and they called it the Dark Ages, that was because of religion and because it had its day and because people like the atheists that exist now were unwilling to stand up and speak out. Now when? Because, quite frankly, the planet you're about to leave to your children may be so toxic that your children can't even continue to exist as a species. We have to stand up to these NRA bought and sold politicians. It's not acceptable. I don't care if you like guns or you like to shoot guns or use guns. Quite frankly, that's okay. But what's not okay is all of these mass shootings, thousands of people dying per year, more mass shootings in 1 year than there were days in the year. That's not acceptable. And every time you stand up and take even a little bit of their side, the NRA wins. And they're winning our politicians, and they're winning our judicial system, and they're winning to take away your true freedoms, which is the freedom to not let your politicians be sold to the highest bidder. And how people can sit there and just let this happen and not be outraged and move to actually do something like get off your ass and vote is beyond me. If voting didn't work, if voting didn't matter, we wouldn't have these people, because voting doesn't matter. If voting didn't matter, we wouldn't have President Obama, because voting doesn't matter. There are so many profound actions that voting has changed. So when you take for granted the right that you have to get out there and have your voice heard, and when you sit on the sidelines, you get people like Mitch McConnell who don't want to confirm a justice, who want to sell out to the NRA, who just don't care what you think because you're not lining his pockets with money. And if it isn't clear by now where the money goes, where the money comes from, you aren't paying attention because they're pretty much doing it in your face and they're laughing about it. And you can enjoy the fact that while you sat at home and refused to vote, unless it was for Bernie Sanders, this is what happened to your America. Things that your forefathers would have lived and died for and would have killed for. Things that were revolutionary. You want a revolution. That's what you had when America came to be, when they created a system where everyone had a voice. It took thousands of lives for that to happen. That's a revolution. We already had one, and we created a living document where we can change it as we need to. Not a document that is stale and dead and old and immalleable, and we can't do anything with it. We have the Constitution. But people refuse to get up and do their duty. And then you watch the decline of America, and you sit there and you say that there is nothing you can do when voting was your voice. It was how you were meant to be heard. Talk to your politicians. Call them. Quite frankly, every American should be on the phone with any Republican who took the stance of Mitch McConnell. You should be calling his office and saying, there is no way that you should be selling out my America to the NRA. This is not what I signed on for. I'm an American. Damn it, I have a say in what happens in my country and with my judicial system. Whether you stand up for guns and gun rights or not, you shouldn't stand up for letting your politicians sell themselves to the highest bidder. And if you do, you deserve the shitty America that you get. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So if tomorrow somebody walks up to you on the street and unleashes an AK-47 in your face, you got the America that you asked for because you said it was okay for them to sell out to the NRA. And if that's the kind of America you want, then that's the kind of America you get, but it's not my kind of America. I want my politicians to know that I'm going to hold them accountable for whatever they do, and I'll be there ready to hold them to that. That's going to do it for today. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and do yourself a favor. Get off your ass and vote. Thanks, everyone. Bye.